Amen, amen. Well, as we get ready for this word this morning, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 as we continue our series on warning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. I'm just going to read 1 through 8 here. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Eli. I want to just go to verse 2 for a second. This is crazy here. He had two wives. One was called Hannah. The other was called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. So year after year, they kept going to the house of God. But notice what happened in verse 4. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because she loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. How many of you have people in your life that irritate you? From your hands? And why are women so mean to each other? Isn't that crazy? Just provoke her like that? That's crazy. Yeah, why women? I mean, women are competitive, aren't they? No? All right. Frankie says yes, all right. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Verse 10. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant and remember me." This is important, you guys get this. She said, "Lord, remember me and not forget your servant. But give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will be used on his head." Notice what she said there. "Lord, remember me. Remember me." Verse 17. Here's the end of the story here. At this point, she prays to the Lord and says, "Lord, I want you to remember me." And in verse 17, Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And she went her way, and she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Her face was no longer downcast. And lastly, verse 20, "So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel." Let's pray. Father, bless this word in Jesus' name, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to get this and apply it to our lives, and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is where I want to start. In verse 11, she simply said something powerful that just grabbed my attention. Verse 11, maybe you relate. She made a vow to the Lord, "If you will only look on your servant, if you will look at my misery and remember me, and not forget your servant." So I want to ask you this question. You don't have to answer it. You don't have to show me your hands. You don't have anything. Because I know that all of us at some season in our lives can relate to what Hannah is praying to God. She looks to God and she said, "Lord, remember me." In other words, Hannah is telling God, "God, I feel forgotten by you. I feel as though you have forgotten me. I feel like you're not looking at my misery. Do you even see what I'm going through? Do you see my problems? Do you see how I struggle? Do you see how bitter I've become? Do you see my tears?" And sometimes, like Hannah, if we're honest with ourselves, we can go through this season in life that we feel as though God has forgotten us. And God is not even looking at us anymore. And God doesn't even care that right now we're suffering this anguish. And what's really just grabbed my attention and made me so sad when I read this is that the Bible says she did this year after year. She went to the house of God year after year. So every year she would go to the house of God. She would pray. She would worship. She would give sacrifices. She would do all these outwardly religious things. But yet inwardly she was still in this bitter bondage and she felt abandoned by God. And here's the warning that I want to give you in this series. If you're not careful, your circumstances can allow you to feel as though God has forgotten you. And your circumstances can make you feel as though God is no longer even looking at your misery. And when you get to this season in your life that you fear forgotten by God, that's when you begin to make the worst mistakes and poor choices, and you feel as though God no longer even cares. But the truth is, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God was there, but what's so tragic about this story, it showed me that you can be in the house of God like Hannah was. You can pray like Hannah did. You can worship as Hannah did. You can do all these religious things and still feel this sense of misery and abandonment by God. Just because you're in the house of God, just because you're in this church this morning, and just because you're here right now worshiping and singing the songs and listening to the sermon, that is never an indication that right now your life is good with God. Maybe you're in this house right now and you say, Pastor, I relate to you. I feel as though God has forgotten me. I feel as though God has abandoned me. I feel like God is not even looking at me, because if He was, why would He allow me to suffer the way I'm suffering? And it gets worse for Hannah. See, what really made Hannah bitter was Peniah. And if we're honest with ourselves as we're in church, can we be honest? Can we? Is it easy for you to see other people have what you think you deserve? Honest? How do you react when God does for someone else what you feel He should be doing for you? When you look at someone else's life and they're living your dream. And when you look at someone else's circumstances and God has blessed them, but not you. See, Hannah not only was in the house of God, but her rival provoked her. Peniah is that type of woman that will rub the blessings of God in your face. And she knows your situation, but she doesn't care. Peniah's Instagram was full of happiness, bragging all the time, and showing off her kids, showing off how great her life is. And you know, you're happy for her. You're not hating on her. But you're kind of asking God, why her? Why not me? And it provoked her because it reminded Hannah that God is able to give you kids, but He's just not doing it for you. And I started thinking and praying about it. I said, Lord, why would you allow Peniah into Hannah's life? And it's simple. Sometimes God will put a person in your life that has what you want to provoke you to keep praying, to provoke you to be blessed. See, God sometimes will put someone in your life that's better than you, that's greater than you, that has what you want, to show you that if God can do it for them, He can do it for you. And don't get bitter, get provoked in saying, God, I know You're able because You did it for them. You can do it for me, and I'm going to continue to push forward and be blessed. So God put Peniah in her life purposely to provoke her to a blessing. That's why we can't allow ourselves to be bitter when God blesses other people. We can't allow ourselves to feel abandoned by God, because God has a purpose for every area of your life that He has closed. The Bible says that Hannah's womb was closed by God. This makes no sense to me, but God was the one that said, Hannah, no. Hannah, you're not ready. Hannah, I'm going to close this opportunity. I'm going to shut this door. I'm not going to open this for you. I'm not going to bless you with this yet. I have to close your womb. See, how do you handle when God blesses other people, when God doesn't give you what you thought He should have given you? And how do you handle when God purposely closes the opportunity you want? When God shuts the door in your life? See, every area that God closes, it's an area you're not ready for. It's an area that God says, you're not ready for this blessing, because if you're blessed beyond your maturity, you will mess it up. So then God has to close certain doors and certain windows and opportunities and chances and blessings. And He's not saying no. He's just saying not yet. But see, when Hannah saw that Peniel was being blessed and her husband was not the reason she could not give birth, naturally, Hannah knew the problem was her. And you may not like this part of the message. And maybe you want to wish you stayed home after I tell you this. But there are moments that we think that God has closed certain doors and we're going through certain setbacks and certain struggles. And you want to blame people. Many of you blame people for where you're at and why you're stuck. If it wasn't for them, and if it wasn't that I married them, if it wasn't that I took this opportunity, if I didn't do that, and it's their fault, and they're the reason I'm stuck. So many people want to blame other people for why they're stuck. And I want to tell you something right now, and you're not going to like it. They may have some fault in it, but the majority of it is your problem. Because you made the choice. See, I'm studying something in the Bible now, and I'm not going to tell you just yet. But the reality is that you are your worst enemy. It's easy for me to blame the friend or blame an ex or blame this person or blame them. But the reality is, how many of you can relate to making bad choices in your life? I mean, you did it. You married them. You ate it. You drank it. You smoked it. You slept with it. You said yes to it. Amen? So can we really just blame them? But Pastor, it's so much easier. Yes, it is. But if you want God to really bless you, you need to realize that sometimes you're at where you're at, not because of Peniel, not because of your husband, not because of anyone but you. So God made it clear to her, Hannah, your problem is not your husband, because if your husband was a problem, Peniel could not have children either. So she knew the problem was her. Why don't you say that to yourself? The problem is me. And that's why God can't bless you yet. Sometimes we want to blame the devil, but we got to leave him alone sometimes. The problem is you. You see, we want to blame people. We want to blame the devil. We want to blame all this. But the last person we ever look at to see change is ourselves. And if we would get honest with God and say, Lord, is there something in my heart? Like David prayed, Lord, search me and show me my heart. Show me if there's any sin. Show me if there's anything that doesn't honor you. See, that's when God can begin to really bless you. So in this case, Peniel's problem wasn't physical. She could have spent money going to doctors, finding medicine. She could have done any of that and nothing could have fixed her problem. Because the problem was not physical. The problem was spiritual. And God saw something in her that she could not see in herself. And yet God was trying to reveal it to her. And I'll tell you exactly what it was in a little bit. Just be patient. But oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can tend to think that we're going through what we're going through because life is just full of physical circumstances, and that's true. But not every physical problem you have can be fixed with a physical solution. Some problems that you have is actually spiritual, and yet God wants to heal you of that, but you don't even acknowledge it. For example, there is a man in the Bible named Saul. And Saul couldn't sleep. He suffered from anxiety. He suffered from jealousy and depression. He had all this worry and panic attacks. And the Bible clearly said there was an evil spirit in him. You look at the life of Job, who had problems with his kids, who died physically. He was sick. He lost his job. He had no money. He lost everything on the outside. But on the inside, we know that the devil was attacking him. You look at the woman that had this 18 years, she was crippled. And for 18 years, physically, she was not able to walk. But the Bible says that she was possessed by a demon. And when Jesus touched her, she was healed. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says for 12 years, she got all her money wasted on doctors and she could not be healed until she took it to Jesus. You see, a lot of problems in our lives can relate to spiritual ones. And God tries to heal you in that manner, but sometimes we say, no, Lord, it's physical, it's physical, it's physical, but not always. See, God was trying to show Hannah, there is something in you that doesn't honor me, and I can't bless you until you correct it. What was it about Hannah that God saw that he could not bless her? What was it about Hannah that made her feel as though she was forgotten by God, abandoned by God, and life was unfair, and yet God didn't feel sorry for her? God didn't change her until she changed something about herself. The second Hannah prayed, the Lord opened her womb. Am I right? Do you think that Hannah, this is the first time Hannah prayed? Of course not. So what is it about this year? Because if you're tired of being in the house of God like Hannah, and year after year being in the same mess, the same bondage, maybe you have the same problem that Hannah has. You say, well, Pastor, tell me what the problem is. The second Hannah prayed, the Lord says, I'll open your womb now. But why? What was it about Hannah that God said, now I know I can bless you. Now I know that I can give you this blessing. Hannah prayed and said, Lord, if you give me this child, I'll give him back to you. When God heard that vow, God said, now I know I can bless you because the blessing won't keep you away from me. The blessing won't distract you. The blessing won't become an idol. And oftentimes God wants to bless you, but he can't because he knows if he blesses you, that blessing will become your God and will drift you away from him. See, God says, I want to give you that job, but I know that job's going to become more important than me, so I can't. I want to give you that husband, but I know that husband's going to become more important than me, so I can't. I want to give you that house, but that house is going to become your idol. You're going to be working on it all the time and not even come to church anymore, so I can't. I want to give you that position. I want to give you that promotion, but I know that if I give you that, it's going to take you away from me. See, deep down, I believe that Hannah didn't realize that if God would have given her the blessing too early, that child would have become everything for her, and she would have completely forgotten God. But the fact that Hannah vowed to the Lord and said, Lord, if you give me this, I will give it back to you. In other words, Lord, if you bless me, this will not get in the way of our relationship. See, God cannot bless you in any area that will affect your relationship with him. And the Bible says in verse 11, she said, I will give him to you. I will honor you with what you give me. See, if we're not careful, sometimes the blessing that God gives us can rob us of the relationship he desires. And see, God will hold back on that because He knows you're not ready yet. You can't handle what I want to give you because until I'm first in your life, I cannot bless you. So I wonder how many things God is holding back from you because He knows you're not ready for it. You can't handle it because if He gives it to you, it's just going to keep you away from Him. Am I preaching truth this morning? Hannah didn't realize it. But year after year after year, she stayed stuck. She stayed miserable. She felt empty. She felt hopeless. She felt abandoned by God because she did not even realize she wasn't ready to be blessed. And you may feel as though you're ready for God to bless you. You may be, God, you know, it's time. It's been years. But God did not care that it was year after year. Just like God doesn't care that you tell Him you're 38, you're 40, you're 50. God, when? God is not subjected to your timeline. God says, I will give it when I give it, and I will give it when you're ready. But see, we say, God, I want it now. I want to be married now. I want that kid now. I want that promotion now. I want all of this now. And God says, I have it for you, but if I give it to you now, you're just going to mess it up. And if God would have given her that child way too early, that child would have been everything to her, and she probably wouldn't even go to the house of God anymore. But the second she vowed and said, Lord, this will not interfere with my relationship with you, that's when God said, now that you've given it to me, I can bless you with more. And God not only gave her Samuel, God gave her a lot more kids after that. Because it's the principle of giving, and it will be given unto you. See, God can't give because He knows it will take you away. That's why when you look at someone like Abraham, Abraham was just wanted to be blessed by God. Abraham messed up his life because he couldn't wait. It was 25 years waiting, and he said, you know what, God, clearly you've forgotten about me, and I'm just going to sleep with my maidservant, have a child with her, and anytime you try to do things yourself outside of God's will, believe me, that's not going to work. And she messed up a lot, and he messed up because they could not wait. What is it in your life right now you just can't wait for anymore? I thought about when Abraham finally got Isaac, the promised child. God said, I want you to go up to the mountain and sacrifice him for me. And Abraham obeyed and he put him on the altar. And just when he was about to sacrifice him, God said, stop. Now I know you fear me. In other words, he said, Abraham, you passed the test. Because I know that the blessing was not going to interfere with me, so now I'm going to bless you with more. See, can God trust you to be blessed? It's interesting that when the disciples got together with Jesus, and there were 20,000 plus people that wanted to eat lunch, all they had was a little basket with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it wasn't enough. And they could have complained about it, which they did, because they told Jesus, it's not enough. How far can this go? And a lot of you are like that. You're telling God what He's done in your life is not enough. And you're telling God where you're at right now is not enough. And you want more. And it's not good enough. And you're forgetting that just before you had no lunch, no basket in the first place. But see, the Bible says that they kept telling Jesus, it's not enough, it's not going to go far. And you're just like that, you're telling God how bad your situation is and you wish you had more and it's not enough. And then they gave it to Jesus. And He multiplied it. And they had 12 baskets left over. You see, it's the principle of giving to the Lord first. When Peter got blessed, he's a fisherman. He's been struggling all night, couldn't catch a single fish. Business was bad. Jesus comes into his life. You guys know the story that Peter that night got the best catch he's ever had in his career. His nets were to the point of breaking. Peter had enough money to probably retire, take life easy. And what's interesting, as I read this story, you know that Peter dropped his nets, he dropped everything to follow Jesus, and I was honest with God and said, Lord, I would not have done that. You're like, Papa, you're the pastor, but let me be honest with you. I would have negotiated with Jesus a little and say, hey, why don't we go into business together? You'd clearly know where the fish are at. I'll go catch them. You just point them out, and we can really live large. Anyone? That's a good business strategy, Jesus. Forget the ministry. Hey, why don't you, clearly you're gifted to know where the fish are at. So tell me where they're at. I'll catch them. We'll sell them. We'll profit. We'll make a killing. But see, Peter makes this massive amount of money in these fish, and then Jesus blesses him. He could have finished. He could have taken it easy. He could have retired. But then Jesus said, follow me. And he drops everything. And he leaves. He leaves the fish behind. Could you leave what you love most behind for Jesus? Could you leave that relationship? Can you leave that job? Could you leave that habit? Could you leave that very thing you think you need to follow Christ? And Peter was blessed beyond measure only after he demonstrated to Jesus, you can bless me and I'll still follow you. You can bless me and I'll still be by your side. You can bless me and I will still be faithful to you. But see, God can't bless a lot of us because He knows the blessing will interfere with our following Him. You think about in the New Testament, all these, there were 10 lepers. And all 10 of them prayed and they shouted out to Jesus and said, Lord, help us, help us, Lord, help us. Just like you're telling God, help me, Lord, help me, heal me, clean me, Father, please bless me, change me. And you're asking God to change your circumstances. And Jesus said, okay, I'll heal you. He heals all 10 of these lepers. And the Bible says only one of them came back and said, thank you. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. See, the other 9 demonstrated to Jesus, if you bless me, I won't follow you anymore. They got the blessing of Christ and they went back home, they went back to work, they went back to their hobbies, they went back to their lives, and they completely abandoned Jesus. See, because if you're not careful, sometimes the blessings of God can become God themselves. And we forget about the real God that we serve. But see, he tells this one leper, your faith has made you well. And I said to myself, wait a minute, all 10 of them were made well. Why did you say that to him? Because only this man surrendered his life to Jesus and got saved. The other 9 were blessed physically, but they died without knowing Christ. So who really got blessed that day? If you're not careful, you might be saying, well, Pastor, I want God to bless me. Are you saying that I'm not ready? I guess that's what I'm saying. Because the Bible says in Luke 6:38, give. Can we all say that? Give. And it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. How many of you want that type of blessing in your life? But what does God call us to do first? Give. Hannah was in a position that year after year, she was stuck. Year after year, she felt forgotten by God. Year after year, she felt miserable. And I wonder this morning, if you're in this place that you're saying, I'm in the house of God. And year after year, I come to church. And year after year, I worship. And year after year, I do all of these things. But I still feel stuck. I still feel empty. I still feel like I have no purpose. I still feel empty inside. Let me tell you, the worst position you can be is in the house of God and miserable. I've been there. It's when you sing the songs and you read the Bible and you say hi to all the people, but deep down inside, you're honest enough to say, I'm not happy, I'm empty, and it's the worst thing to look across and think everyone else is Paneah, everyone else is blessed, everyone else is happy, everyone else has it all together but me. It's a terrible place to be, in a position where you feel abandoned by God. But see, God did something interesting to Hannah. He was showing her, Hannah, the problem is you. I can't bless you. Because if I give you what you want will become first in your life. And it's not until you demonstrate that this will not interfere with me. Until you show me that I can't change you. So there, in her bitterness, in her emptiness, in her sadness, she prays to God and she said, Lord, I'm tired of every year coming to your house. And maybe you're tired of every Sunday coming to the house of God and still feeling empty, unhappy and without purpose. Maybe you're in the house of God and you're irritated by the blessings of someone else. And it's provoking you because you're asking God, why them and not me? And maybe you're here and you're saying, God, I just feel like you've forgotten me. You're not even looking at my pain and my misery. But see, God demonstrated to Hannah that I was there the whole time. I was listening to your prayers. Every tear that you cried, every time you wept, every time you were bitter, every time you felt forgotten by me, I was there. I was just waiting for you to come to me. What's interesting is that you can be in the house of God like she was and still not truly come to God. Don't think because you're worshiping and singing these songs and listening to this sermon and maybe you might pray a little prayer today. Don't think that that means that you've come to God. See, Hannah got alone with God. She got up from that table. She got on her knees and she just wept and she said, Lord, I am tired. And I feel abandoned by you. And she was angry with God. And God understood her. But when she said, Lord, I've promised, I vow that if you do this for me, I will give it to you. I will honor you with him. In other words, she said, Lord, I know I can be blessed and still serve you. That's when God said, now I know I can open her womb and bless her not with one son, but many children. And she outgrew the family. Because God saw her heart and she knew that the blessing would not become an idol. And in verse 17, let me read this for you, two verses. The man of God, Eli, answered, go in what? In peace. Her prayer, she didn't even know God answered it. But see, real faith is having peace knowing that God is going to do what you have asked him to do. Real faith is saying, Lord, even if I don't see it happening, even though right now it's not manifesting itself, even though right now nothing's changed, I'm not going to let myself lose peace over this. And the man of God said, peace. Go in peace. So you have that choice today to surrender it to God and live your life in peace. But some of you, you're going to go in anxiety. You're going to go in fear. You're going to go in bitterness. You're going to go in anger. But Hannah had the challenge right now to go and live her life in peace, knowing you've surrendered it to God. See, peace is how you know you've truly surrendered something to God. And if you don't have peace about it, it's because it's still in your hands. And Hannah couldn't change it. Hannah, even if she tried and tried and tried, she would never have had a child because God closed the womb. But the second she surrendered to God, peace came over her life. And maybe it's been a long time since you felt peace in your life. And like Hannah, you need to get alone with God today and say, Lord, I feel abandoned by you. I feel forgotten by you. But Lord, I will honor you if you bless me. And in verse 20, the part that I don't like, but it's there. So in the course of what? Of time. In the course of time. See, God says, your blessing needs to have its course. That word course means process. How many of you love the process? No one does. But see, God says, you have to love the process just as much as you love the blessing. Because the process is what's making you ready for the blessing that God has for you. And in the course of time, meaning Hannah, you prayed, you surrendered, but you still had to wait. But in that waiting, in that process, she still had peace. She never lost peace after that because she truly surrendered to God. So my question to you this morning, can God trust you to be blessed? Because once Hannah surrendered it to God and said, Lord, I will honor you with what you give me. God said, not only am I going to give you that, I'm going to give you more. But you're still stuck on what you don't have. You're still stuck in what God hasn't done for you. You have forgotten what God has blessed you with. Just like her husband said, am I not enough? That I've given you a double portion. I've done so much for you. And yet you still weep over what you don't have. And you're so stuck on what God hasn't done in your life, what you haven't accomplished, what you haven't achieved, that you have forgotten what God has done for your life. Right now, that the fact that you have breath is the grace of God over your life, because none of us should be here right now. But God has blessed you beyond measure. So we need to fix our perception right now and say, Lord, if you give it, that's great. If you don't, I still have peace. I will still serve you. I will still love you. I'm not going to let what I don't have affect who I am. Hannah was robbed of her peace for years in the house of God. And maybe you're in the house of God today and you've lost your peace. You're saying, I feel abandoned by God. He has not abandoned you. But see, maybe God is searching your heart and He's saying, there's something about you I cannot bless. And we have to humble ourselves enough to say, Lord, search my heart. Why am I not blessed? Why is it I haven't achieved it yet? It's either that it's not God's will, or it needs to take its course because you're not ready. But regardless of what season you're in your life right now, God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. So you need to take where you're at right now in the season that you're in, and you're saying, Lord, no matter what you do or don't do, I will honor you. I will give back to you what you have given me, and I will be faithful in the season I'm in. Let's pray. If you're here this morning, and you're saying, God, I'm in your house like Hannah, but I feel empty, I feel unhappy, I feel hopeless. Could it be right now that you have forgotten the blessings of God? Could it be right now you're saying, God, you haven't given me this, you haven't done this for me, and you're so caught up in what God hasn't done that you have forgotten what God has done? And Hannah had an ungrateful spirit. And the Lord knew that if Hannah would have had her child, that child would have been more important to God. See, God knows why He withholds the blessing from you. And we have to trust the Lord who gives, the Lord who takes away, and the Lord who hasn't given yet. And in any season that you're in right now, you need to trust God, knowing that He can still give you peace even if nothing has changed. He can still give you joy that surpasses your level of understanding. You know, Pastor, how do I achieve this? You simply have to tell the Lord right now the truth. Say, Lord, I don't like you right now. Lord, I think you're unfair. God's feelings never get hurt, by the way. You can tell God in reverence, I feel abandoned by you. I feel forgotten by you. I feel like you have not looked at my pain. Some of you can relate to pain and you're wondering, why didn't God stop it? Why didn't God do anything? Why did God allow this person to hurt me this way? God was watching you in your deepest pain. But what's hard to believe is that God didn't do anything about it. But sometimes we have to understand that even when God feels, it feels like God has not been there for you. He's always been. And there's a reason for every thing right now you've gone through. Some of the things might have been your choices, your mistakes. Some of them might have been because other people's choices and mistakes have hurt you. But see, even now God can open doors and bless you in ways you never imagined. Even now in your worst, God can still do more than you ever imagined according to His Word. It's never too late to be blessed by God. And there's someone in this room today, you see, you think that your blessing is far gone because of who you are, what you've done. You don't know God. Right now, you can just surrender to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I want to honor you with my life and trust you. And watch God work. Because in the course of time, if you will just trust God, He will fulfill His destiny for your life. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, here's an honest prayer. If you feel abandoned by God, would you show me your hands today? If you're online, you pray this with me as well. God bless you. If you're feeling like God hasn't looked at your pain, if God hasn't looked at your sorrow, God can still bless you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we look at everyone here today, maybe, Lord, you've closed opportunities for them. Maybe they're suffering because other people are blessed with what they feel they should have been blessed with. But Lord, you know our hearts, you've searched it well. And maybe we're not ready. And maybe, Father, we can't be blessed because that blessing will become first in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that we go through this process in the course of time, that you will make us ready for what you have us ready for. And forgive us, Lord, for any bitterness we felt towards you, any resentment or jealousy over the other people you've blessed. And let us, Lord, just have the strength to do the best with what season we're in right now, knowing that there's more to come. Help us not to settle, not to give in, but to keep believing and have the hope that our better days are ahead of us and our best days are not behind us. You are not beyond blessing, and you are not beyond a miracle right now. God can still work wonders right now in the worst of your season. Hannah was way beyond her years to have children. Hannah's womb was closed beyond she ever imagined it could never have opened. See, I believe in a God that no matter where you've been, what you've done, if you humble yourself and pray, the Lord can still open doors for your life that you thought would never open for you. Stop giving God a timeline and just allow the Lord to get you through the course of time and the process. Amen. So, Father, we receive this word in the name of Jesus. Bless us and let the blessing never become first in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that word today. Yeah, give God some praise today.